Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together. And Lord, I just pray that these few minutes that we're spending together will be a source of comfort, a source of peace, a source of encouragement and strength. And in these uncertain times and maybe these uncertain days, Father, we know that there's a storm coming. But, you know, even if Hurricane Dorian wasn't out in the Caribbean right now, Lord, the truth is that there's a storm coming in each of our lives, each and every day. And Lord, I pray that the scripture today that you'll be reminding us, really, that you're there. And that our responsibility, our response to these storms is not to stress out or be in fear and anxiety, but it's to pray. It's to be still. It's to know you're a God. It's to be encouraged in our time with you and our intimacy with you. And Lord, may this time of storm, may it be a time where we find ourselves in intimate fellowship with you. Once again, we love you, Jesus. It's your name I pray. Amen. For those of you that join us on a regular basis, you know that we're just started a series in Genesis. We are going to postpone that series until next week, and we'll kind of come back together and pick up where we left off last week. But I thought today we'd just spend a few moments in probably a familiar passage to many of us and really just remind ourselves of the pathway to peace. The pathway to peace. How many of you were reminded this week about what hysteria looks like? Huh? Anybody? Yeah? Anybody? Maybe even in your own household, right? It amazes me, these storms and the way that we respond to them. And it's not just, it's collectively. It's as a community that this just absolutely blows my mind every time this happens. It started long ago for me and my experience with the storms is in Northern Virginia. I was a grocery store manager for 20 years. And so the storms, we didn't get many hurricanes up there. But you know what we did get during the wintertime? Snow. Right, snow. And wouldn't you know it, every single weather system in snowstorm, whether it was snow flurries or flakes or expected to be a blizzard, every one of those storms was the worst we had ever seen. The absolute worst. And kind of we're getting that as we kind of go through the seasons and go through the different storms that, you know, each storm is bigger than the last and it's the storm of the century. And, you know, I don't mean to make light of the weather systems and the storms. There's very real danger or very real consequence for not being prepared for the storms when they come. And we know that. Aren't we lucky to live in a time and a day and age where we can have a week or more advance notice on some of these weather systems? Now, some of you may look at it as a blessing. Some of you are looking at it as a curse because we have to live for a week or more with this never-ending stress and anxiety. You can't turn on the news. You can't look at your phone. You can't do anything without being stressed out yet again about the storm. And so we'll talk about that for a second today. But I want to ask you, as we gather here today, what is your response to the storms of life? What is your response immediately when you hear that there's a storm coming? And we're using the metaphor of the hurricane, obviously, this week, and it's very appropriate that we think of that. But really, in our lives, we experience storms every day. We experience storms that come in and go out. We experience relational storms, physical storms. When we're looking at this idea of health and failing health, we go through these different episodes and circumstances, and we ebb and flow in and out of different crises and different storms. And what is our response in those moments of crisis, in those moments of uncertainty, in those moments of fear? What is our response? Well, the Bible gives us an appropriate response and an appropriate way to respond to all of these situations and circumstances. And this is, may I tell you, this is one of the clearest ways that you should be able to tell a person who follows Jesus Christ and a person who doesn't follow Jesus Christ is the way that they respond to the storms of life. And so God in his wisdom gives us the pathway to peace to help us to understand how our response to the situations that are coming our way is supposed to work out. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 with me. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 6. Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul. For those of you that haven't spent time in the New Testament lately, it's about halfway through. It's a small letter, only four chapters long. But as he's kind of wrapping up his thoughts to the church at Philippi. He's giving some rapid-fire suggestions on how to live their life and things to apply to their life with scriptural truth, and here's one of them. And if we're in a hurry to read and get done with the letter, or to read and get done with the reading of the day, we'll skip right over these verses and not realize the impact and importance of what they're saying in our everyday, in the way that we live our lives, especially in the times of uncertainty and anxiety. How many of you, this is your first hurricane? Your first hurricane experience, okay? All right. Everybody else, we know who to pray for, right? They're the ones that came in this, with really worried looks on their faces in fear, you know? These are opportunities for us to lean into the Lord instead of, well, run for cover, you know? And I'm not saying that preparing and not, if the Lord leads you that you got to get out of the way or evacuate or do what you need to do, then I'm not making fun of that. But what I'm telling you is in spiritually, we have an opportunity to respond the way the Lord wants us to and allow Him to be the Lord of our life in the moments of uncertainty and crisis, or not. Or not, but we choose today. We choose today. And so the passage from the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. I love that. Be anxious for nothing. So the word anxiety, the root word here, comes out to play. Be anxious for nothing. It doesn't say be anxious. Many of us stop reading there and we fulfill that one, right? And that's not what it's saying. It's saying be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. There's nothing that should make you anxious. This word means to be fear-filled, worried, stressed out, uncertain, and living in a spirit of uncertainty and doubt and fear. This isn't the way the Lord allows us to live. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we live not with the spirit of fear, but with the spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. We live differently because of who lives in us. So be anxious for nothing. And this word nothing means no man, no thing, or no one. Be anxious for no reason for you to be anxious at all, for anything, nothing. But in everything, so if nothing means no man, no thing, or no one, everything means every man, everything, and everybody. But in every situation, in every circumstance, no matter what's going on, no matter what's going on, in everything, by prayer and supplication. And here's one we forget sometimes, even us veterans, Christians, right? There's a little clause here that says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7, here's the kicker, verse 7, here's what we're looking for. Here's what we're looking for. All of us are desiring, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we're looking for today? The peace of God? Isn't that what we're looking for? That we walk out of here with confidence and encouragement and the peace of God would reign over our lives in every situation and every circumstance? Well, here's the thing, though. We have to let Him be God in every situation and every circumstance. We have to recognize that He's in control and that He's there through everything and through every situation. Even when there's a storm coming. He's still God and He's in control of that. And we rejoice in that. We understand that He is in charge of these things, and we're not. But what we can do is lean into Him who is in charge of all things. We can trust Him. We can prepare as best we can and however, whatever we need to do. But at the end of the day, it's not about any of that. It's about Him. It's an opportunity to worship Him like we never have before. So we have these things going on in our minds, and the pathway to peace looks like this. It starts with anxiety, because that's a natural common emotion between all of us. That is a first reaction, a first response to almost everything in life, some form of anxiety. And here's the thing, anxiety in itself is not a bad thing. It's not. Anxiety in itself will help us to pay attention to those situations and circumstances which we should probably pay attention to. So anxiety in itself is not a bad thing. To just kind of pause for a moment and think about things. But anxiety becomes a sin when it takes the place of God. When we allow it to overrule and dominate our relationship with God, that we get so upset and so frightful that we can't even pray to God Because of our anxiety and our fear. Anxiety. It starts with anxiety, and the apostle says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, and there you go. So anxiety to prayer, through prayer, yields the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And here's our pathway. So, many of us, and we just said, we've observed anxiety this week. We've observed people losing their mind this week. Okay, I love the pictures at Walmart with the bread aisle empty, right? And the water. I love, and you know what? We have such a great communicating community these days. You can look on Facebook and people are letting you know where there's gas and where there's not gas. People are letting you know where there's water and where you're out of luck, right? And so thank you for that if that's you communicating, but understand that as we look at these things, they cause this overwhelming sense of anxiety. It happened to me this morning, just to be honest with you. I was listening as I was kind of thinking about things and up praying and build the Lord. I had this little newscast on at 5 a.m. On Facebook, and it comes up, and it's telling everything that's happened over the night. And within 10 minutes, here I am worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord and having some great communion and fellowship with the Lord. Within 10 minutes, I'm done. I'm gone. That worship has yielded to a sense of kind of anxiety. I said, boy, isn't this appropriate? You know, when people started to freak out back in my former life, and people started to freak out because there was snow coming, I would look at them like they were just losing their mind. I mean, what is wrong with you people, right? The grocery store will be open tomorrow, I promise. I mean, we'll be here for you. There will be toilet paper tomorrow, I guarantee it. Guaranteed. If not, ask a neighbor, come on. That's something a neighbor will probably be neighborly on, okay? Just looking at people, and I could tell them that my mercy quotient was probably way down here instead of where a healthy level, because it's just like, are you kidding me? And so you knew that these things, and this is what we see all around us. It's like, where have you gone? Sane, normal people acting with civility and courtesy toward one another. Throw that out the window when there's a storm coming. It just doesn't make any sense, because this anxiety and this fear comes over. What does anxiety look like? Well, there's a couple of words that we can identify with that. So anxiety looks like scared, stress, fear, worry, panic attacks, tension, trembling, desperate, and many other words that we understand. And all of these things would describe our kind of some of the things that we maybe even been feeling. You know, as we think about anxiety and come away from the storm for a minute and just think about your normal everyday. Think about the way that you walk through the everyday situations when maybe things aren't going your way and you start to feel a little anxiety because you've lost control over a situation or circumstance. Maybe you've gotten in an argument or a robust dialogue with somebody and that hasn't gone the way you want it and you begin to kind of sweat over that a little bit, kind of feel uneasy about that. Maybe you're waiting for the doctor to call and you need to hear about this diagnosis that has been long forthcoming. All of these are reasons that we as humans feel anxiety and fear. All of these situations, all of these struggles, all of these storms of life cause anxiety and give us a cause to lean into God. And it reminds me of a story, and talking about the storms of life, when Jesus gets in the boat, he's done a long day preaching and healing and doing ministry. He gets in the boat with the disciples, and Jesus goes to sleep, right? Jesus is human like the rest of us. After all of this, giving himself away, he's tired after a long day's work, goes to sleep. Well, guess what happens in the middle of the night? As they're out on the boat, a storm comes, right? They didn't have the Doppler radar, or they didn't have the six-day forecast that we have today. It came up out of nowhere, and here they are struggling against this storm. And this was a particularly violent storm because these veteran fishermen, these veteran men of the water, were scared. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what was going to happen next. They didn't know if they were going to make it out of the boat alive. And they look back, and here's Jesus sleeping on the bow of the boat. Are you kidding me? Jesus, come on, get up. Bail water out. What are you doing? Help us through this. What can we do? Are you going to get up and help us or not? Sometimes that's the way we go to the Lord, isn't it? at our last desperate plea. What do you, help, help God, which is what they said to Jesus. And here Jesus just stands up. He says, what are you making all this commotion and racket about? What are you, all right. And then here's what he does to the storm. Shh. And the storm went, shh. You can just imagine like an air out of a balloon. It was just being taken out of the storm and dissipating. I mean, can you imagine the disciples' reaction? Look at their face for a moment. I mean, what? Utter disbelief and confounded. And they said, certainly, this is the Son of God. Even the wind and the waves obey him. All that Jesus had to do is to talk to the storm to calm the storm. And you know what we need to do in the midst of the storm? Talk to Jesus. Because he calms the storm. He calms the storm in us. In us. So by prayer, what is prayer? What is prayer? Simply, prayer is communication with God. It's talking with him, and here's something we sometimes forget. It's listening. It's listening to him. But you know what we need to do to listen? Sometimes we need to stop talking. We need to stop stressing. We need to stop getting all up into ourselves and stay still for a moment and allow the Lord to talk to us, to calm us, to be with us. As we think about these things, how many of us take that time? And here, when the things are out of control, and by the way, there's not one thing that you can do about this storm that's coming. There's not one to prevent it from coming. Hello? So all the fear and all the anxiety and all the attention that we're giving this weather system, there's not one stinking thing that we can do to push that thing off. Except to talk to Jesus. Except to talk to Jesus. How many of you have been praying this week about this storm? Huh? How many of you have been praying? Yeah, all over the room. Absolutely. We've been praying too. And so what does this storm look like at the beginning of the week? Go ahead and show that. At the beginning of the week, right, we saw this. You remember that one? Well, I went, right? Because we know where that red swirly thing right there is. That's in your backyard is where that is, right? And so this was at the beginning of the week, and it was like, holy Toledo, we're all going to die, right? I mean, really, that's what the collective response was and everything. And then we started to pray, and we continued to pray, and we're still continuing to pray. The next forecast, a day or two later, came out, and it looked like this. But notice what happened, right? And I'm not saying it was because of our prayers, or was it? You see a change in the track, and it goes south. I hate it for my friends in Fort Lauderdale, but hey, thank you, Jesus. Right? Come on. Praise God for answered prayers, but you know. But it's still coming up the spine of the state, and we're still kind of thinking, you know what? Let's continue to pray. Here's what we need to pray. Let's pray that nobody in Florida gets hit by it, okay? Let's just pray that and continue to pray that, and we'll continue to do it. Now, and here's what the next track looked like. Look at that. And so now it's coming up and turning north and going away from Florida. And, you know, I'm praying for my friends in North Carolina and South Carolina, but the Lord is continuing to work, and he will continue to work. I'm not saying this is because of our prayers, but is it? Because our response to the Lord in these situations and circumstances is to pray. Is to pray. Here's what I'm praying for. Yeah, that's what I'm praying for. I saw that graphic when Matthew, in 2016, when Matthew came. You remember Matthew, some of you that were here, we were like, it's the end of the world. We're going to see Jesus tonight. And so we just kind of, we were hanging out. We boarded up. We did everything we could do to prepare. And then all we had left to do was to pray. And then at the last minute, for whatever reason, God went, boop, nope, no further. And it rolled right on up and up the coast and mostly out to sea, which is what I'm praying for. But pray. That's what we do in times of anxiety and fear. We pray. We pray. That's our only hope. It's the only thing we can do. But that prayer, something happens in the midst of those prayers. Something happens in us when we pray. That anxiety that we have, that fear that's welling up in us, all of those things, those negative emotions, when we pray and we allow God to speak with us and we spend time with Him, those emotions are cast aside. Those emotions no longer become part of who we are because faith overcomes fear. Our faith in the Lord as we spend time with Him and praying overcomes fear. It starts to replace, it changes us in the midst of that prayer. And so it's that anxiety, and we pray and we lay that down, and we pick up prayer and we pick up faith, and that faith leads to peace. A peace that passes all understanding, that we can't even hope to understand, that it's beyond our reckoning and our reasoning to understand what God's doing, but in the midst of it, we have peace. It's an evidence of our faith. The fruit of our faith, peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Could it be that some of these situations and circumstances that we're going through in life, could it be that God is trying to increase our faith? Could it be that He's trying to increase our attention to Him? That in the midst of these circumstances, hurricane aside, that in the midst of these health and relational and emotional issues that we're struggling and facing every day, these things that are kind of welling up in us and taking over and taking charge, could it be that these situations are an opportunity for us to exercise and to practice our faith through prayer so that we grow up in our faith? That our faith grows stronger as we see the Lord is ever faithful. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from these events. For us who follow Jesus, this should be an opportunity just to express our faith, not in a haughty attitude or spirit, but with compassion and kindness and care as we go out and we help our neighbors and we help our friends, and the biggest thing that they need to understand, that there is a source of peace that they may not be aware of. And His name is Jesus. We have that. And by going out and ministering, by being together and interacting with each other, this gives us an opportunity to share our faith. Where do we find our peace from when the storms of life are overwhelming? Well, let me tell you, His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And then you get to give your story, your testimony about how good God is and about how your faith brings you through the storms of life. It's a great witnessing tool and testimony. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to look different than the world. We're supposed to react different than the world does. We're not supposed to chase after every wind and storm that comes and just latch on to fear like the whole world does. Our faith should keep us grounded and rooted in the peace that passes all understanding. This is where I get my peace from, and I'll close with this. My greatest source of peace, I like to go to Romans chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. If you don't, just think about this. Romans 8, go home and read it. At the last 4 or 5 verses is one of the greatest sources of peace that I lean into. In my times of anxiety and fear, and very quickly I said, nope, nothing's going to separate me from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing I go through. Absolutely nothing. And here's what the Word of God says. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Mm-mm. Just as it is written, for thy sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are being considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. That means we're going through all these trials and tribulations of being human. We're having all these attacks from the world. We're being persecuted. Everything that's happening to us is supposed to drive us and put a wedge between us and God. But that's not our response, people. Our response isn't to allow it to separate us, because there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. But in these things, all of these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing, hello? Nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, isn't that comforting to you? Isn't that encouraging to you? To understand that I don't care what the storm looks like, it's not big enough to get in between me and my God. It's not. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. And as I understand that, that becomes a source of overwhelming joy and peace in my life. Peace that I can't reconcile with anything. It doesn't make any sense. You know, if I get a diagnosis that says I'm healed, I no longer have cancer, or these things that we celebrate and we go through, praise God. We can praise the Lord for all of those things. But what if I don't? What if my journey is to walk through those situations and circumstances? What if there's not a quick answer to my prayer? Then what? There's nothing that can separate me from my God. Even in the midst of the valley, in the midst of the turmoil, there's nothing that can separate me. That's where my peace comes from. I pray that is where your peace comes from. It's rooted in our faith, exercised through prayer and through communion with God, that dispels the anxiety that we feel because of the world that we live in. I'm going to encourage you, don't listen to the news today. There's studies. The more news and the more information that you take in, the higher the stress level that we experience. Isn't that crazy? We live in the information age. We're living in an all-time high in anxiety and fear. Instead of being fearful, instead of having hearts overwhelmed with anxiety, let's take a few minutes and stop and pray as we go our way. Maybe we can get with our neighbor and pray with them because they're freaking out and stressing out. Take a roll of toilet paper to them. Help them feel better, okay? A loaf of bread or something. But go and pray with them. That's the thing that's going to change. And more than anything else, prayer. Prayer. So I'm encouraging you today. This week's going to be a stressful week. We know that. This week's going to be a stressful week. But the peace of God, the overwhelming, unknowing peace of God, guards our hearts. You know what that means? It keeps our hearts. It keeps us away from stress and anxiety and fear. It keeps us away from the sin of putting something else before God. It guards our hearts. It guards our hearts. This word is a military term. It's a military term, and you would think that a military regiment that is protecting a city or guarding a city, that's what the peace of God does in our own hearts. It protects and guards our hearts. I pray that that's your experience with the Lord today. As we look forward to what's coming this week, let's encourage and challenge, and let's pray with one another. Let's pray with one another. Father, thank you for today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to just gather here in your house for a few minutes and open the Word and just kind of focus on the things that, well, that are more important than all of the stress and anxiety and fear in which we in which we've been living in the last week, and we know there's a full week of it ahead. But Father, when we are tempted to allow anxiety and fear to overwhelm and to overcome, Father, help us. Help us to remember to pray, to remember to leave those things with you and walk confidently and boldly into the opportunities that you give us. Father, I know that this week will present opportunities to just show our faith, to share our faith, to share you with others in a way that's non-confrontational, or in a way that's just real. Because this is a common experience that we're all going through in the community, for those that know you and for those that don't know you. And Father, my prayer would be for those that know you would be able to share the peace that comes from knowing you with those that don't know you. Because if people don't know you and have the assurance of their salvation, the assurance of their faith, Father, I don't know how they make it through the storms of life without that assurance that only comes from knowing you. So So, Father, turn our hearts not inward but outward. Turn our hearts not inward but upward so that we would continue and allow this to be an opportunity to strengthen our faith with one another. As we close our service today, it would be silly for us to not pray. Amen? It'd be silly for us not to just take a few moments before we go and pray with one another. And so, in this moment of prayer, we're going to open the altar open. Have you come up, stand, pray for your neighbors, pray for your friends, pray for the Bahamas, pray for those that are going to be in the path of the storm. Pray for the first responders who will be responding to those things that are going to be happening no matter where this thing goes. Pray for your neighbors. Pray that God would use you in this week to open up eternity for somebody. Because you had the wherewithal not to be succumbed or overwhelmed with fear, but to operate in faith and to allow your faith to shine. We have that. We have that power within us because Christ resides in us. And so we're going to close for a few moments of prayer, and I'm going to invite you to come and invite you to stand up where you are and pray where you are. But sometimes coming out and just kind of coming forward kind of does a little something in your own spirit to strengthen your faith. So I'm going to invite you to do that. Pastor Aaron's going to lead us in a song as we all stand together and sing.